everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of the Challenge Podcast. It doesn't have a name yet. Very important updates over the past couple weeks. Our mystery guest bailed on us yet again at the last minute, but one day we'll get our mystery guest, who is Josh from Big Brother and the Challenge. And one day maybe we'll get Josh. Also, guys, I put in our request for Johnny Bananas, so we'll see if that happens. I'm kind of hopeful, but I don't know, because I think based on time, if we get him, if he agrees to do it, it would be next week that we would have to do it. I need to follow up on that, but we sent in the request a little bit late, and then we may be in a situation where who do we want to talk to more, Bananas or Josh? So, you know.
Obviously I built Bananas on profile, but can I just say that this is getting us right into our content, but like, I think the unholy alliance of Wes and Bananas is on like thin ice, and I think it could blow up next week, and then we have Bananas on the back end of that.
Yeah.
Josh, this was the week to have Josh on.
This was the week to have Josh on. Unfortunately, we're not going to have Josh on again. Our coverage of The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T.
There's no chance that Johnny and Wes stay together much longer.
Mm-mm.
And it's because Wes, I feel like Wes was content with the Unholy Alliance initially, and they thought they were going to game their way, and then he just couldn't help himself this week with both the Josh feud to start it off, and then the Jordan feud. And both times, Bananas was like, seemed really reticent to get involved. I think he knows. I think he's just going to wait for the right moment. He's just going to pull the rug out from underneath Wes.
When the test came, I feel like one or two episodes ago, wasn't Johnny maybe going to get voted in, and Wes saved him in a very public way? And now it was time for the tables to turn and for Johnny to support Wes. And he's like, I'm happy being in alliance with him, but I don't care that much.
There's a significant strategy behind this, because Wes couldn't turn on Bananas with like going at someone like Jay, because he'll come back to the house and that would just backfire on Wes.
Yeah.
But like in that same vein, Johnny can't take Wes aside against Jordan. He's fine letting Jordan go against Wes, because if they met in an elimination, there's just no chance that Wes is coming back. So like that's the person where you're like, I'll let our alliance die on this one.
But I feel like the what was at stake initially, especially with the banana stuff where Wes saved him last week or the week before, whatever it was like all game related stuff. And Kravitz, to your point in the doc, like the stuff that Wes said to Jordan was not great.
Yeah, it was actually mean, which is like, I'm usually like highly charmed by Wes because he just rants about how smart he is and his monster trucks and his 25 companies and his incubator. And pretends he's better than these people. But he was actually kind of mean. And I have the exact quote, and it was, "You will not talk to me the way you talk to your wife," referring to Tori. And that's like, was like an actual mean thing to say about Jordan, who was just, you know, playfully talking
And
shoving a salami in his face.
A 3-foot salami.
By the way, did you see him using paper towels to like wipe up whatever like meat juice came out onto the table?
I didn't realize that's what he was.
Repulsive. Saying. Just light pink meat juice all over a metal table.
Where do we think he got that sausage? They just had that laying around the house and he decided to use the prop?
It's weird. And it was like at the ready. It's not like he got up and like he seemed to just have that 3-foot sausage like while he was sitting at the table for some reason.
Maybe they were like nibbling on some cheese and crackers and salami.
And Jordan was just cutting off the salami for everybody, slice by slice. I guess that's, you know, that's a theory. I love that it started this, and this is again, I love Jordan so much. Every week I love Jordan more and more. And this week, the fact that he was defending the integrity of the turf and the workout space, just amazing. Like this guy is committed to being a competitor and working out, and his fiance Tori, and that's about it in Jordan's life. I love it.
Rack your weights, bro.
You gotta rack those weights. I don't understand why you don't like Jordan, Billy. I can't wrap my head around it.
You'll get to it. It'll happen at some point. I'm telling you, you go on an emotional roller coaster with all these people every single season, where the people that you hate at the beginning, you end up rooting for at the end because they're like the underdogs because everyone's ganged up on them. And the people that you liked at the beginning, you hate because you're like, this person is just kind of a jerk. And it doesn't even carry over usually season to season, because like you'll feel totally different about people from one season to the next. Like Bananas is somewhat likable this season because he's laying low, right? And he doesn't have any of the numbers. But on previous seasons, he's like the bully that's going around. But all the young people are doing it now, so he has really no choice but to align with Wes, because everyone else is pretty much against him in the house, because they're all new people that he's gone through years of like harassing, except everyone else that was like at Johnny's level has moved on to other things.
That's exactly right. He lost his entire cavalcade of like backers, and so he's turned to Wes because all of the young people who he terrorized for years it became a game of who's going to get up Bananas. And that's where we're headed with Jordan, which is why he's kind of likable now, because everyone's like it almost antagonizing him. But he used to be the most cutting, mean guy who lacked 100% empathy. Like there was no empathy from Jordan, which is where it was tough. But now that he's sort of evolved into, you know, the world's greatest athlete, along with like Usain Bolt and Simone Biles and LeBron James, like, I have a newfound respect for him.
Yeah, I feel like with him, because you can tell, I feel like you can tell to a certain degree the aspects of the person's personality that people don't like about that person. But the things that are unlikable about Jordan now are the reasons why I love him. So I just feel like the more that comes out about him being unlikable, the more I'll be like, yes, I'm in on this person even further.
Yeah.
And Tori's a beast too.
Yeah, Tori's the other side of the coin, which is why they're way more tolerable, because she's just incredibly nice. Also, part of this goes back to Jordan's season of Real World. He was such a d*** in that season. It was unbelievable.
What season was he? I don't remember him. I didn't watch the Real World.
He was on, I'm pretty sure he was on with Johnny Riley and Avery. Do you remember that season?
No. Your knowledge of these shows.
Did they change the format of Real World at all since I used to watch it back in like Hawaii? Are there competitions or anything?
Yeah, they stopped doing it.
The new format is
it doesn't exist.
No longer exists, which is why Big Brother people are now on the challenge.
Didn't they have like a year ago, like a Facebook only season of the Real World? Did you watch that? You didn't watch that, did you?
I watched a little bit of it.
Oh my God.
I had to check in.
I'm not saying this like to demean your life, Charlie. That's a bad way to start a statement. Where do you find the time? Like, what do you do this in lieu of?
I don't sleep that much. A lot of it's just sitting around, like staying up way too late, binging these shows. It gets a little bit sadder for why I got to the Real World Facebook show is I had deactivated my Facebook and had to just like slyly reactivate it so that I could have the credentials to watch a couple of the episodes.
That's better, I guess, than creating like a fake Facebook just to watch the Real World. So like, it's not as sad as it could have been, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was making a Facebook, watching like these 20 minute episodes, then deactivating the Facebook so no one would notice, and then waiting a week later to reactivate.
Deactivating in between, you didn't just make a commitment for a couple months.
What year was that season? Do you know?
I think it was like 18 months ago. It was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So that's perfect, because I think I was trying to invite Charlie to something on Facebook, and his name would be up, and I invited him and it was gone. I'm like, I can't figure this out. Like, this guy, he can't decide whether or not he wants to have a Facebook.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Now you know. It's finally been revealed.
What was the last like actual season of Real World? Was it one in Vegas with Kayla, or was there another one after that?
So I think that was the last one, but the last good one was they had skeletons. And well, there are two good ones. They had a season called Skeletons where they brought in their like arch enemies to live with them halfway, and it became a 14 person house. And they
They've done stuff like that on Big Brother.
Where they brought in everyone's exes for the second half of the season.
Is Skeletons or Exes the one where we met Jenna, who was dating Jay?
Exes.
We met Jenna,
yeah. Jay was this like dorky pipsqueak, and he was just dating Jenna,
way out of his league. And he treated her horribly, and she would always go back to him, and it was like, dude, what do you see in this Jay? Like, not to be like a height elitist or anything, the guy looked to be like 5'3", weighed like 122 pounds. Like, it was the strange, and he was just like super cocky and like not particularly like, I didn't really see what she saw in him. It seemed kind of just like, oh, this is a hometown guy that I dated when I was young and I'm just going to marry him and whatever. By the way, we got yesterday, Charlie Hume, because you're not familiar with this, we got not a major moment in the show or a major plot point, but it was a good flashback and also teaser to what's going on next week, which is the Jenna call home to Zach. And I'm going to tell you why that was important. Jenna and Zach will do these seasons together often. There will be years, though, that it's just Jenna or just Zach. This is a just Jenna year without Zach. And she even told you, on and off for 6 years or whatever, but they've been on for 2 years. Now, history on the challenge.
A lot of history.
Had a season where Jenna called back home to Zach. It was a season that Zach was off. Zach picked up the phone and called her the wrong name. And then she said, do you know who this is? He said, of course I know who this is. And then called her the wrong name again because he was cheating on her while she was on the challenge and called her the name of the person he was cheating on her with.
There's even more history too, if I may.
Go on.
There was
bring
also
it, bring in a historian. Yeah, let's get it all. This is great.
There was also a season where they went on when they were dating, and on the way to the season, multiple cast members were flying together, and Jenna hooked up with someone in the bathroom on the flight over, and it came out. So she had cheated on him also. And then
going to be my question. Going to say, it seems like Zach sucks. Is there any reason why we would not be rooting for Jenna? Seems like we should just not be rooting for them as well.
I root for Jenna typically.
Yeah. Jenna's a sweetheart. It's like,
she seems boring.
But you put up with enough of Zach and you're like, I kind of get it.
I didn't know she was on the show until yesterday. There are still two people. She was the one woman who was in a confessional, and I was like, who are you? And there was a guy with a British accent, Kyle, maybe.
Oh, Kyle. Give Kyle time. You'll like Kyle. I like Kyle anyway.
No problem with either of them, but it was, again, in the fifth week of watching this show, and had no idea that either of them existed.
The most forgotten member of this season so far for me is Melissa.
Yep.
Who's that?
He's one of the British.
The blonde girl with the British accent. Remember?
Oh, yeah. She sounds like she's on Downton Abbey. Yes.
Yeah. So she, if things get revved up for her, she'll be a good character, because the last time she was on, she got into a bunch of fights. I don't remember if she got sent home or not, but she got into like a lot of physical altercations and was like a main like catalyst to issues that were going on. Now, one more thing about Jenna before we move on, Charlie.
Yes, please.
We also cannot forget the season that Jenna and Zach were on. I think it was last season or the season before.
I'm glad you're referencing this. This is a great moment in challenge history.
They were on, and it was one of the first weeks, right? And drama started when Amanda, who's not on the season this year, Amanda is like a real troublemaker who would be great on this podcast. She went and told Jenna that the season before, when they were either after they had been eliminated or when they were like in one of the houses waiting to come back or something, that Zach activated his Tinder account and was trying to get people while she was in the house still playing and he was in the other house. He was trying to pick up people on Tinder. And then it became this whole thing. And then Amanda and Zach hate each other, but then became allies that season for some reason, because everyone else hated them. It was a strange thing. Anyways, she ended up coming to his defense. She's like, let me clarify. Zach was on Tinder. He did activate it and he was trying to meet people, but he told us he was doing it as a joke. So it wasn't serious. So Amanda basically just tried to ruin their relationship early on in the season based on something that happened the year before that was a joke. And then they kind of maybe broke up for like an hour on the first episode, it felt like, because he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm done, which was super sketchy to begin with. It was so weird.
He blamed Jenna for bringing it up. There are certain things from Zach that I like, because he's actually sort of smart and he's snarky. And he's like, there was a season when they had a basketball hoop in the house and he was dunking. And that really charmed me, because I was like, oh, you're like,
he's 6'3", right? Like, he's one of the bigger dudes.
He's
right?
jacked. He's
He's like discernibly athletic. Like, he's a college football receiver and stuff. And I was like, just from a scouting perspective, I'm in on this guy. He's toolsy, big catch radius, great hands.
The thing that's strange about them, I'm pretty sure they're engaged. And she said, I'm playing this season because we want to start a family soon and we need to make money. And I was thinking, it seems like Zach should have been the guy that went to do this season if you wanted to try to win the money, because she's gotten close to the final, but I don't think she's ever run a final before, has she?
She's run a couple of them. Okay. So she's actually like sneaky kind of good at the physical competitions. But I think that there's something to this too, where they switch off seasons because they don't want to get targeted as a couple. And Zach performed so well last season that he was going to get targeted because he has no allies other than Bananas at this point.
Can we guys give some context and explain, because I feel like it was used last night, to run a final? Is it one big – how is the final formatted and what does that mean?
It can be multiple days, up to like 15 to 16 miles of running and a bunch of obstacle courses and sleep deprivation and eating challenges and puzzles and carnival games. There's always a puzzle. There's always a running aspect. There's always a carrying of something while running aspect.
Overnight torture of some kind.
Or they make you stand up for the entire night. And Zach actually, in a historic thing, he had sort of passed CT as like the physical specimen on the challenge and then cramped running up a mountain and had to get like helicoptered off the side of a mountain because his like entire body cramped.
Oof.
This seems unhealthy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Like the actual like finals that they do now are grueling.
I feel like your description of it reminded me of Stefan from Saturday Night Live. You're like, they're standing up all night, there's eating, there's carnival games, or like, just a bunch of random concepts thrown together.
Can we just reel this back to where we started at the very beginning of this topic, which was Kayla on one of these seasons? And I love that. Let's talk a little Baron Kayla, shall we?
Oh, man.
Thank God. This is I put this first on the rundown, despite the fact that we had someone who might be dead at the end of this episode.
I mean, I just feel like, and I think your note is 100% accurate. I think she thought she got away with it.
She totally thought she got away with it.
She thought she had the camera angle, and then she came out and almost ran to the camera person. I was like, oh, buddy, that's going to be a tough explain to your boyfriend.
There is part of this, too, where, like, I really wanted to have, like, a challenge guest on this week because I need to understand Bear more. Like, is it just that he's in this house and he's the only loud, funny person, but I just don't know if he has the best game ever or the worst game ever. And all I can think of is the way that the British people talk on Too Hot to Handle, how they have good chat and good banter. And that's all I can think about with Bear, because he clearly has good banter and like sneaks his way into these situations.
The thing I don't understand is that, well, I guess you're describing exactly the thing that's it's very easily understood and it's completely incomprehensible. But like he's literally just loud and he has an odd accent and he doesn't stop. Like, this guy just, that's probably maybe one of his best qualities in the challenge. Like, this guy just does not give up. And, I feel like everyone was trying to help Kayla out. Jenna tried to talk to Kayla.
That's actually, like, one of the real sweet friendship moments of this show that, like, never gets shown, when Jenna actually talked to Kayla like a real friend.
I thought that was so nice, because I feel as if there are other moments in the show which could go in that direction, but everyone's so combative and defensive that it turns into a fight. And I thought that they were both receptive to it being totally benign and friendly, and I liked that.
Yeah, everyone's like always talking strategy, how are we going to do this? Who are we going to get? It's like, hey, just maybe it wouldn't be the best idea to hook up with this guy who's relentlessly pursuing you when you said you have a boyfriend at home that you care about. It's like, oh, that's really nice of you to offer her. And then she's just going to go 5 minutes later and throw it all out the window. Just amazing.
Well, they're friends outside the house. And Cara's not there this year, but if Cara was there, Cara would be going after them. Like, they're kind of skating because they're like normal enemies are not there this season. But like, Kayla's taken a couple seasons off. But when Kayla and Jenna are together, and now Nani's in that group too. I don't know how that happened. But when Kayla and Jenna are together, they're usually targeted because, like, as Charlie was saying, Jenna's sneaky good at these athletic competitions, but like she even kind of hinted at it yesterday where she told, Jay was asking like who's going up and she's like, no, not you. And then she's like, that's why I don't talk to anybody. Cause like it seems like she's intentionally dull at times. She's like, if I just stay out of everyone's way, they'll kind of forget about me and leave me alone and I'll make it to the final. But this season, Jenna, is not the season to be doing that because you need to get into the proving ground or whatever it's called.
It was that scene between Jenna and Jay where it again dawned on me that I would be terrible on these shows, because she seemed so kind and had no problem lying to his face, and all that type of manipulation, I just wouldn't be able to do it.
I wonder what would happen. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Graf.
No, go ahead, you're all good.
I wonder what would happen if you went on one of these shows and you just were completely honest all the time with everybody. Like, you didn't try to make any alliances, and you just told everyone hard truths. Like, would they try to bounce you immediately, or would your complete honesty be useful to other players?
That guy exists on this show. His name is Jordan. You have to be as good as Jordan if you want to just unempathetically just tell the truth at all times. Like,
I love
sorry,
him so much.
Corey, you're dumb. You don't know how to put dynamite into something like that.
That was so bad.
Can we please talk about
that was so bad.
How hard can the math be?
Math is easy.
Oh my.
I thought production had to step in and almost keep Corey from blowing himself off. He was like messing with actual dynamite.
I thought that when Jordan was his rationale for why he was the decoder, he was like, if this was about fun, but I'm really strategic. And the decoding was matching colors with numbers. I feel like it was a nursery school activity. And he felt like he was the big strategic mind of his group, and he needed to handle that.
Well, and really, you didn't even necessarily need the decoder if your math guy or your math runner came up and told you the colors on the board as this person's running up, and you could grab them. Like, I think Rogan did that, even though he got the math wrong. But, I mean, literally, the only important person was math person, and then to a certain degree, as we saw with Jay, radio person.
Yeah, radio person was definitely important, which is unbelievable. I have a couple questions about this.
Why does Bear not know how to use a radio?
He'd never seen a walkie-talkie before, and he just kept saying, over, Roger.
And he kept holding the button.
Okay, that one was so inexplicable to me because it sounded like on the show that the radio came in clearly to Bear on the front end, and he just didn't put the numbers up right away. Like, did you see, like, Rogan and Swaggy were like, boom, like, numbers, numbers, numbers. And I felt like Bear was like, oh, this, I'll just put them on once they're done reading the whole thing out, and then just completely missed the first 85. It was,
did he not understand the concept? Because he was like, okay, can you read it again? And he was like, no, we are past that. I can't see them anymore. That's not how this works. Although I have to say, as a viewer, I was surprised that it was so one and done. When Jay missed the first one, I was like, oh man, he's going to waste 2 minutes. He has to do this again.
Yeah.
And he was like, you don't get to complete this challenge. It seemed very extreme to me that no one had a second chance.
So I have a theory on that. I think it was just for production, too hard to set up the car going over the ramp multiple times and like strapping them in and then unstrapping them and strapping in the next team. Like, I mentioned they're paying the stunt driver by hour or by like reps, and they were like,
valid.
You got one shot with this stunt driver. We got to get him out of here in 2 hours.
There was a certain point where I legitimately thought that none of the groups were going to finish, like after the first three win. Like, it was just going to be – they were going to mess up the front end because there was one cutaway where Jordan was talking to people on the side before his team, where he's like, oh, I think the numbers are over the top of the containers. And I was like, man, like, none of them are going to know how this works. They're all going to pull a J or, you know, Bananas trying to talk to Bear, and none of them are going to get it right.
I just want one person to just yell PEMDAS during this entire thing. Like, the amount of times they don't even understand the order of operations to make this problem workable. And they even gave it to them this time. They made the math easier. All of the addition and subtraction was after the multiplication and division. Like, they made it so they didn't even have to realize order of operations on this problem and still couldn't get it right.
How about, imagine, I forget who was Corey's mathematician. I think it was Bailey. Imagine doing all the math right and running and getting it, and then Corey can't stick three pool noodles into a holes.
After he'd watched four other teams do it.
That's another thing. If you go last, you definitely have the advantage. Because, like, Jay, who messed up right at the beginning, like, I can kind of understand it because you don't really know exactly what you're looking for. The second team already knows, like, oh, this is what I'm looking for. It's there. And then, like, they're dumb and they go back and they're like, oh, it's that I missed it. It's at the top of the container. It's like, why would you tell the other teams exactly where to find it? This isn't going to help you out. I was trying to figure out if you needed to put those, like, the, like, noodle things, whatever they were, like, in the right
order.
Because I think that point, they're like, just get it there and hope that nobody blows up when we set off this dynamite. We thought this would be a lot easier, but we're three out of six teams down. Let's not get picky at this point. Like, if you put it in, it's going to blow up. It doesn't matter the color order.
So I thought it was interesting that, you know, obviously these people need red skulls, and I guess there were six teams of four, right? So there are 24 people left, and someone's going to get eliminated this week. So obviously there should be enough opportunities to get red skulls left, but I don't know how many left. I get, like, Swaggy C seems to be, like, an intelligent puzzle guy, right? Like, he did the math and everything.
Day trader.
Day trader. Love that comment. Like, I'm clearly, Yeah, that's a whole other aside. Like, everyone labeling himself, well, I'm the smartest person in the house. Like,
everyone thinks they're the smartest person in the house.
So good. But so for Swaggy C, I get why he makes the tribunal. They get to the elimination. He's like, maybe not me. But if I'm Josh and I get there and I'm looking at the setup and it's Jay, how do you not put yourself in?
It was really soft. It was really soft. It was like Wes was squirming, and then he realized Josh was going to be a coward about this and loved every second of watching it.
My favorite thing about it was when Swaggy C said, quote, TJ, I'd love to go down there. And TJ goes, all right, come down then. It's your call. Let's go. And he's like, nah, well, no, I don't think I'm going to go down this week, TJ.
Also, I don't know how easy it is to change, but like, or if they tell him to wear clothes in a different way, but obviously the people, like CT showed up for his week dressed, like he was ready to rock. Whereas like, as soon as Swaggy C and Josh showed up in street clothes, you already know they're not going to do it.
Yeah. I imagine they didn't like I imagine CT like foam rolled and did a dynamic warm up and was ready to go. And like Josh and I can't even say Swaggy C for the record. It's just like Josh and Swaggy C were not mentally or physically prepared for that challenge. Which, by the way, can we talk about the tribunal for a second? Because that was incredible. The Wes Josh interaction. Hey, yeah, I guess we're always just going to be rivals. No, we're not.
His face. I would not waste time putting you in. You're the worst person in this house. It's so rude.
It was amazing. There was also, I saw a comment on Reddit that was, Wes's conversation with Josh is the same one Kayla should have had with Bear on day one. And that's like the greatest comment I've ever seen.
Yeah, I felt like it was so odd that, when you're looking at Josh and you're trying to process what's going on in his brain, where he's expected to have like some sort of normal conversation with Wes, but Wes is like coming in guns blazing. And then he's doing that thing that I think we've all done at some point where he doesn't really know what he wants to say, but he just kind of word vomits. He's like, well, I guess it's just going to be us going back and forth. And then you got that great line where like, no, I don't think you get it, dude. It's never going to happen. He's just sitting there like, oh, it's not going to look good.
That was the best part, is that like Wes was going to be rude to him right from the start and got away with it. And Josh is like, okay, I guess we're on the same page. He's like, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm going to disrespect you to your face. Like, I do not respect you as part of this tribunal. I'm going to insult you.
He flipped all of his friends, all of Josh's friends who were in the tribunal with him, to be like, dude, you're just not on his level. That's what they all like left thinking. It was incredible.
Well, Swaggy C's quote was great. Like, I was like, oh, word? Like, bet, you're going in. Like, that's – but, dude, I would have loved to – I would have been nice to Josh this week, and I will still be nice to Josh whenever he comes on, but I have so many questions to ask him. You know what I really want to ask him or anybody on the show is – because clearly they know what they're good at, or they think they know what they're good at and they're not good at. I would love to hear what Josh thinks he knows are his strengths and he knows are his weaknesses.
Yeah, classic interview question right there, too. Biggest strength, biggest weakness.
job interview and damn interview in this, in the regular interview in this context. But you know what I mean? Like, Tori, like, knows she's not going to puzzles. Put me in if it's physical. Don't put me in if it's puzzles. Well, like, so I don't funny, know. I wonder what Josh thinks he's good at.
Funny you should say that, because last year they said that Josh's big weakness was his, like, emotional volatility, and he could not emotionally cope with people saying that. So I don't know if he knows his biggest weaknesses.
He's been good this year, though. He hasn't had any breakdowns yet. I thought, by the way, in terms of, like, strength and weaknesses – Rogan, for me, was so soft yesterday when he was going in there and he was saying in the bedroom, whatever it was, right, that Jay's like, let's just do this. Like, just come in. And he's like, I'm going to go in if it's physical. But if it's mental, I'm not going to do it. And if it's a puzzle, I don't really want to do that, because I don't think – it's like, dude, if you want him and you want to take him out, just go after him already. I don't understand this whole thing. He just wants to beat him, like physically beat him. And if he loses, he loses. He just wants to hurt him.
Rogan is like – oddly confident, but like not. He's not actually confident in his skills. It's like, it's pretty much an act, in my opinion.
This is his first elimination, and I think he may lose it, even though it looks like he might kill Jay. If Jay walks, like, comes back and he eliminates him, it's going to be such a bad look for Rogan.
So Billy, so we texted about this last night, and we were opposite sides of this, because he puts a hit on him. I think we all agree it was a pretty good hit, but it wasn't a hit that connected with the level of reaction that, you know, Bananas coming on saying it was the hardest hit he's ever seen. Everyone going ooh and on. I mean, I think once you saw Jay at the end, you're like, oh, okay, he looks pretty bad, but like it didn't look like that in the front end. Now I love the old school NFL style, like I'm pushing your head into the dirt, and you didn't love it. Why? No.
I saw it. I was like, come on, dude. Like, you outweigh this guy by like 80 pounds or whatever. It is like, why are you pushing his face down? Like, it's so unnecessary.
You got to let him know you're there.
And he killed him almost.
I think Jay's, I'm with you, Billy, though. I think Jay's getting up. We're starting next season with Jay getting up for the second try. The other part about that, too, is like, I'm also with you, Charlie. Like, he didn't go through him on the hit. He like spun him and threw him to the ground. And yeah, he got some, it's like some good whiplash action, but like, those aren't the big hits. Like,
yeah,
that's not 15 yards in the NFL where they officiate everything.
No.
Like,
that's like a freak injury play to me.
Yeah. I mean, Torrey hit Jenny harder on that Hall Brawl we watched.
Oh, Hall Brawl.
Oh, good. I can't wait for a Hall Brawl.
They can't keep doing that, right? Like they have to at some point. I mean, look, they were doing like that thing that they were playing yesterday is like an American Gladiators game, right? Like from like the 1980s where you get the ball and you throw it in the cylinder. And they keep doing that, and then they're like, well, you know, maybe we should avoid a contact. They're like, you know what? Let's light the ball on fire. That'll help.
Billy, the last 2 weeks, they've submerged them into freezing water until people got hypothermia. True. They've driven on cars on two wheels, dangling them out of the side of the car until they put sticks in to make a TNT bomb explode. And call it a bomb.
Yeah.
They're going to let them do the Oklahoma drill.
I think that I'm starting to realize why they always have this in like these destinations outside of America. Cause they're like, maybe we can't do this. Oh, well, we found this country where, you know, doesn't matter.
What sort of Eastern European insurance can we get for this season? It's like very patchy and very cheap. I'd love to see what like the release forms are for this because yeah, like some of this stuff looks really, really dangerous.
I mean, the best part was Corey, who's been on the show for 5 years, he said that he thought it was going to explode somewhere in the distance. And they were going to put it in post-production. Have you ever seen this show? Have you seen the amount of pyrotechnics on this show?
Also,
that's what you thought.
I love Corey being like thinking he's like outsmart of the game where he's like, he's not that far ahead on the production value, but he can't put the pool noodles in the holes. It's right there.
2 weeks ago, they blew up trucks, didn't they? Like, wasn't that a thing? Yes. He had to blow up a truck.
They opened up the season by driving tanks. I don't know where you rent a tank. Driving tanks across a battlefield. Like,
they were in military-grade helicopters driving paint bombs onto, like, a platform.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious. So this is a total rookie, first season. Was so confused by the ending last night. And then Kravitz texted me about 10 minutes behind on DVR and was like, this is normal. Don't freak out. Like this happened. So do we open episode 6 with them playing out the rest of the elimination?
We'll pick it up like 5 seconds even before that. We'll pick it up at the start of Jay's try.
Yeah.
And then they'll show the hit again. They'll show all the same reactions of like Bananas being like, that's the hardest hit I've seen since whenever. And then they'll show Jay like get up and TJ's gonna be like, are you like, no shame, like I hate quitters, but like that's serious. If you're not good to go, I still have respect for you, Jay. He's gonna be like, I got this, TJ. And then he's gonna go.
If you know one thing about TJ, Charlie, it's that TJ does not like quitters at all. Like that's the one thing he hates.
TJ hates quitters.
He'll tell him like, you're not coming back again. And then they'll be back the next season anyway, so it doesn't matter.
For the Rogan Jay hit, do we think he broke his arm? The angle it was at, like it looked like he got wedged down. But so there's a second where I'm like, did he just like snap his arm like at a really weird angle? But then he kind of got up. Like I wonder. And also, I'm curious, like what the rules of the game are. Is it like sumo wrestling where like he hits him outside of that last circle and he's done with his try, and then Rogan gets to flip around and do it, or how's it worked in the past?
He gets 3 shots at it. That's what they said at the top. So Jay will get 2 more chances to get the ball in.
Is it that he gets 3 chances, right? or is it you got to get 3 balls in the bucket?
That was unclear.
Yeah,
I couldn't
really
figure that out.
Rules.
I thought he said it was the first to get 3 in, and you get 3 chances before you switch. So like,
if so you Jay play offense goes, three times and then you
yeah, if Jay just goes and knocks in three, is it a game over?
That's a good question.
I couldn't figure out the rules, and we didn't even get far enough into it to have to figure out the rules. They, like, you know.
In these inane challenges and the daily challenges, they are now coming back from commercial break and having someone every single week re-explain the rules. So I'm very confident at the top of the next episode, we'll get a re-explanation of exactly what the rules are for this elimination.
I've always wondered this about, like, challenge shows and, like, reality competitions. What is that process like? So TJ goes out there, right? And he explains the rules. Do they then go, like, does anyone have any questions? And you raise your hand. And then there's, like, an actual 45-minute class, like, explaining exactly what you have to do. Like, does someone demonstrate it so that they know? Because there's people that know exactly what's going on and other people that are still totally clueless as to what's happening.
Dude, like, we're talking about, like, Rogan, who could not do simple math. Corey, who couldn't figure out how to put pool noodles in circles. Like, you cannot tell me any of these people on the first try or first explanation rules, like, okay, good to go. Like, I was still confused last week in the D. Ashley elimination. It's like, what are they? I don't even understand what they're doing. Like, why is she, like, she's knocking it off and she has to get clues and put them in order. Like, I just feel like I would be very confused all the time on these things unless there was, to your point, like a 45-minute session where I'm like, okay, so can I do this, but I can't do that? I don't know. It seems like some of them are complex.
It has to be more than what they show, because when I watch these shows, I'm always trying to figure out, like, loopholes to some of the stuff that's going on. And I'm like, no one's trying any of these things that I'm thinking that may work to kind of, like, skirt the rules. So they have to tell them they can't do certain things that seem like obvious workarounds to their rules.
Yeah, I think these daily challenges last all day. I think that they give them a ton of prep on the front end. They demonstrate, and that they have very clear rules for what you can't do more than what you can.
Yeah.
Cause no one really, like, it's rare. Maybe once a season that people complain about the rules or complain to TJ saying it's not fair.
Yeah.
And that's at most once a season. And you know, these guys who consider themselves professional athletes would be complaining to the refs nonstop if they had
plenty of sore losers on these shows, and they never show any of that. So you kind of wonder. Actually, last season, if you remember, Charlie, they did cheat, and TJ didn't know that they cheated. And then they went back to video. It was this challenge where they had
amazing.
They almost drowned people. It was really dangerous. They had basically like this giant cylinder that they were all rolling in, and they had like poles that were locked on it. And it was like rotating back and forth, but it was like halfway submerged in water and people are like falling and they have to like unlock like 10 things at a time. I don't know, but it was a lot that they had to do. The British team basically just ripped the thing and broke the locks off the thing and got out, and they won the challenge. And then they went back and like viewed the tape. That's another thing TJ doesn't like, by the way, is cheaters. He made sure to tell them that I don't like cheaters and you guys cheated.
You don't cheat and you don't quit.
That's right.
I created a pretty good pod this week. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Was it good? What haven't we covered?
I think we went through the entire rundown.
Entire doc. And we talked 100% challenge, which we've not done once yet. I think we're a challenge pod now.
Are we?
People are going to like this.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you guys think about Nelson voting for Bear? I wrote that down. So I figured we've talked about everything else. I don't think Nelson really knows what's going on this season.
I don't think Nelson does much thinking on the front end of these decisions.
Well, it should tell you something that Corey is Nelson's number one. He takes all of his cues from Corey. Corey's not exactly a day trader like Swaggy C. So, not a great spot for Nelson to be in.
Real dad joke here, but I am shorting Nelson and Corey.
Oh, my God.
You know what? The timing was great on all this because...
Well, there's two things we've been missing this week. I know what you're going to, but we're missing two things. We're missing a recipe, and we're missing some final thoughts.
I was going to say final thoughts, but that's a good point. We need the recipe, and then we need final thoughts, and then we'll sign off.
I'm sad that I missed the middle of this episode.
It's the most efficient one we've done so far.
What are you saying?
We talked all of challenge. No sight sailing, no NASCAR,
no
100% challenge.
Look, I have all these DVDs here that I don't even know what they are. We could have gone through.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of that.
You're turning into Lorenzo, dude. Please stop.
Please leave. This is for the love of God.
This is an aside that probably will be edited out. But yes, Kravitz, Billy and I were on a Zoom yesterday that we brought Lorenzo on for like one 15-minute conversation. And he's like, hey, let me show you this thing that I got. And then Lorenzo took us for another 30 minutes. And then we ended up on Lorenzo's Animal Crossing Island, where his character was wearing a quarantine mask. And one of his eyes was swollen shut because he got stung by wasps when he tried to shake a tree.
That's creepy.
I was talking about the wasps today, and he was like, you think the wasps are bad? Just wait till you hear about the tarantulas.
Oh.
There are tarantulas in this game.
Like, what's the deal with the tarantulas?
So apparently...
Why don't we invite him in to explain the tarantulas?
No.
Please, no. That's my final thoughts. I want to rescue my final thoughts. I got to get out of here.
I did hear from Lorenzo. He goes, Charlie brought up my island in the Zoom this morning.
I did. I kind of... He looked like...
Everyone
he
was, logged off instantly.
So your goal was just public humiliation?
No, I was, well, maybe a little bit.
What's the deal with the tarantulas?
So you can get like a little net and you can run around this island and capture tarantulas. Why am I talking about it?
All right, let's stop?
I want a recipe.
No. Let's get our final thoughts, but then let's bring in Lorenzo.
Wait, we need a recipe first.
We need a recipe.
Yeah. Recipe, final thoughts, then Lorenzo.
We cannot bring in Lorenzo under any circumstance.
So... my big victory in the kitchen this week was homemade vodka cream sauce. And I didn't make penne alla vodka because I am of the camp that rigatoni is better than penne. So I made rigatoni alla vodka, ate it about 6 days in a row because it made a lot and I don't like to freeze things. But I feel like that would be very complicated to describe. There was an immersion blender. There were a lot of ingredients. There was rendering of bacon. It was very complicated. So instead, I have a 3-ingredient recipe that's more just assembly. And Charlie Kravitz said last week that Ritz crackers were his favorite cracker. So it inspired me. So it's very simple. It doesn't really feel like a recipe. It just feels like steps to do. So 2 Ritz crackers, a smear of peanut butter, and chocolate chips for each cookie that you're making. So you make a bunch of peanut butter Ritz cracker sandwiches, either in a double boiler or in a microwave. You melt that till it's smooth. You can add coconut oil if you need to. And then you dip the peanut butter Ritz sandwiches in the chocolate, and then you put them on some parchment paper, preferably in the fridge, let them solidify. If you also want to sprinkle some sea salt before they harden or dry. So good. So they're like no-bake cookies.
Mm. So do you – those sound delicious, first and foremost.
So good.
Question for you. Do you dip the cookies in the chocolate, like all the way in, or you dip one side?
Like a double boiler, which is like a glass or a metal bowl on top of a boiling pot of water over the stove, or you can do like a glass bowl in the microwave where you stir it until the chocolate is smooth. Again, add coconut oil for some sheen if you need to. And then I take 2 forks and I like toss the Ritz peanut butter sandwich in the bowl of melted chocolate. And then I put them on a flat baking sheet of parchment paper.
That sounds amazing.
What are we making?
Whoever invited Lorenzo
in. What are we making?
All right, I'm muting you. Whoever invited Lorenzo in, right in the middle of Elizabeth's recipe, so now when I do the video editing for this, I have to, like, change the resolution. I hope you step on a Lego. All right, Lorenzo, tell us about Animal Crossing.
First off, what's up, Elizabeth?
Wait, can we mute Lorenzo for 1 second? Can we mute Lorenzo?
Listen, I didn't ask.
Just for a second. No, we need a final thought so we can sign off because I have to meet with.
My final thought is that I'm terrible at final thoughts. That's not true.
You're great at final thoughts.
You edited it last week where you showed that my final thoughts ended up being 28 more minutes of conversation. I don't know. Have a good week. I'm sorry that I missed the entire middle chunk of this conversation.
Can we get your reaction too? Because we know you're Team Jay. We know you're rooting for Jay. Going into next week, we're a bit of a cliffhanger. How do you feel about where Jay is at this moment in time in the Challenge universe?
As an individual, I think that Jay looks like roadkill, like laying on the side of that circle, twitching a little bit with his probably dislocated shoulder. But Charlie Kravitz is our challenge historian, and he seems to have a lot of faith that Jay is going to be a phoenix rising from the ashes next week. So that theory alone has given me hope. On my own, I would not have that theory. And I just was really sad after last night. I also don't see how Jay beats Rogan in a competition that physical, that is so, I think, dependent on size and strength. But maybe he'll be nimble. Who knows? Yeah.
I think that's great. Who knows? I just am excited to see him get back up, get off that mat.
Those were good. Those were, dare I say, great final thoughts.
Oh, thank you.
With topical challenge notes. We really did a good job of talking about the challenge this week.
Thanks so much.
Good job, Elizabeth.
All right. So that's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, thanks everyone for joining.
Wait,
I'll see you guys.
But what about Animal Crossing?
Bye, guys.
Bye.